Final hour of the drive. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you as Dave is off till the new year. We talked a lot of football, a lot of NBA. We're going to stick with that as we're joined now by our USA Today slash K. I'm reading the copy. The USA Today slash KHTK NBA Insider brought to you by Stockton Honda. It's Sam Amick joining us on KHTK. Hey, Sam, no Dave today. I know you're very disappointed.
I got my fill of Dave yesterday. I gave him a call. I checked in, make sure he's not working too hard. As you guys know, I think he picked some amazing timing to check out. You know, it's not like there's anything going on.
Well, that was an awfully friendly move of you to check in with our guy. He's been living in a shed for the past couple days.
I know. That's the kind of friend I am. Happy holidays, guys.
Hey, you
Katie, I hope you're getting some sleep. I see you on Twitter. I see you on TV. Hear you on the radio, and I keep thinking about your sleep patterns and feeling bad for you.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it, but I'm figuring out a way to make it, so that's all that matters.
All right, very good.
Sam, we're going to start with the local yokels because they've won 4 out of 6, and DeMarcus Cousins has been losing his mind. Last night was kind of tough against Rudy Gobert, but you got the double nickel performance, you got the ejection slash unejection, and the common thread through a lot of these previous games is that Rudy Gay has been hurt, and I'm not going to say that, you know, is the team better without Rudy Gay, but functionally speaking, is this team a little bit more smooth when he's not on the floor?
Yeah, I think it's fair to analyze that a little bit. You see different versions of that all throughout the league, and I always talk about how it's one of the things I love about the game is that, you know, a lineup or an idea that might seem to make a ton of sense and you would think would be dominant might not be, and then sometimes you take a guy out of that puzzle and the team ends up performing well or even better. So, I mean, you look at Oklahoma City and, you know, are they better without Kevin Durant? Obviously not, but it's crazy that they're even somewhere close to the same pace this season that they were last season. And Russell Westbrook is on a whole different level. And so when a guy isn't there, then other guys fill that void. And when you have a guy like DeMarcus with, you know, the abilities that he has and the fact that, I mean, he's filling that void in a big way, especially 2 games ago. I mean, last night, you know, I thought was a big-time win for them. That's a tough back-to-back, and you're going into Utah with the altitude and a Jazz team that, that had just gotten smoked by the Warriors, had all kinds of incentive, had Derek Favors back in the lineup, and they go down big early, find a way to scratch and claw and fight their way back in and pull that thing out. That was a big-time win.
You know, when you look at everything that's kind of been going on with this Kings team in terms of different starting lineups, there's been guys that have been in and out of the rotation. Aaron Aflalo last night comes and really helps contribute to the Kings being able to get a win. Just what are you seeing, Sam, in terms of kind of how Dave Joerger is starting to come into maybe understanding his personnel a little better? Or do you just think he's one of those guys that he has more of a feel to the game approach where he'll put some guys out there, and if he gets a good feel of what they're doing, that's how he's going to go?
I mean, you always hear about Dave that it's definitely shades of the latter because of his long time coaching in the minor leagues and kind of the arc of his coaching career and the fact that the fact that even in the NBA, there's been some similar themes when his teams were so injury prone and, you know, injury battled like last year in Memphis that he had to just mix and match with lineups all the time. And so that's always a part of his repertoire is making it work. And I think the thing he has to sometimes be careful of and deal with is that, you know, and this is not unique to him at all, but the fact that these guys are obviously humans and they're prone to wanting a certain comfort level with their role. Aaron, you know, certainly I think it's fair to say that there was some angst recently with him and his role. And next thing you know, a lot of people are surprised that last 2 games he's getting big minutes after, you know, and I just looked it up here. I mean, he played combined 25 minutes in the previous 7 games. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a big time change. But, you know, it's Dave's finding his way, and those rotations are never easy. And, you know, but he's found a few positive things these last couple games.
Sam, I think I know the answer to this, but why is it that DeMarcus Cousins can't have a good game without national media outsiders demanding that he be traded and saved from the Kings?
a good question, Nate. I mean, that's just par for the course. I mean, that was there, you know, every guy, although I was going to act like it was par for the course, but the one other similar thing is that it is typically small markets that, you know, that narrative gets attached to, you know, Kevin Love in Minnesota, Chris Paul in New Orleans. So
Anthony Davis, even this year.
Yeah. Anthony Davis this year. But I will say that in relation to the Kings, I think it's fair from this standpoint, you know, as much as, I mean, I've been real critical of DeMarcus at different times, certainly these last couple of days, as far as the media stuff, but the Kings, like the part that should not be forgotten in the conversation is that the Kings and, you know, the different mismanagement that's gone on and the draft stuff that you look at the track record and they just have not gotten a lot out of the draft. That's the stuff that I think nationally inspires people to say, get him out of there. Because if you, you know, if you want to see him at his best and you think he's going to find his way into the playoffs and compete on a higher level, you know, then you're going to look at the organization that employs him. And, you know, and then as you guys know, it's, you know, their reputation has been pretty bad the last couple of years. So I think that's the driving force, which is not necessarily just anything personal with Sacramento. It's just a case of, you know, could he succeed more in a different environment?
You know, it's interesting to me, Sam, because obviously we all know the narrative on DeMarcus Cousins. And it's, yeah, he's a phenomenal player, but can you win with him? Does it have to do with the organization? Blah, 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 so on and so forth. But you look at kind of what's going on in Oklahoma City right now, and Russell Westbrook, he loses Kevin Durant. It's kind of a one-man show, and he's putting up massive numbers. But is this kind of an argument of like, yeah, you can have a superstar caliber player, but until, you know, front office ownership figure out a way to put some help around, all they're going to put up for you is numbers and that's it.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and as much fun as it was to see DeMarcus do what he did the other night, and it obviously it wasn't even just the scoring, 13 boards, 3 blocks, you know, hitting threes. I mean, that was crazy. It's kind of like with Russ, you can only expect so much and you've got to get help around him. And now the Thunder, they have fantastic management and people certainly, I think until, you know, the end of my time covering this league are going to continue debating some of the major moves they made, trading James Harden and things like that. Mm-hmm. But they have a great reputation and they have a pretty amazing track record with the draft. And so, you know, if you want to even look at those two scenarios, I'd say they're pretty far ahead of the curve. They've got the third youngest team in the NBA and a bunch of young players with ceilings that, you know, Steven Adams continues to get better. Enes Kanter continues to get better. Even Andre Robertson, you know, elite defender. So that's the problem in Sac is that, you know, unfortunately it's like, all right, Willie Cauley-Stein's gotten better. He had, I thought, really a few nice moments last night, but it's been, for the most part, slow going. Ben McLemore has, you know, been it's certainly just not the player that they were hoping coming out. And then if you go farther back, you know, it's the Thomas Robinsons and Jimmer Fredettes and there's kind of a draft graveyard, so to speak, and that just certainly has not helped our cause.
Sam Amick, you know him from USA Today, but he's of course our KHTK NBA insider presented by Stockton Honda. You talk about that Thunder team. I can't remember if I've actually asked you this before, but I know I've brought it up to some people. Why is it that other than he's playing in a much deeper conference, why can't Russell Westbrook be a better version of what Allen Iverson used to do with those Sixer teams?
In terms of just completely putting them on his back and getting all the way to the finals?
Yeah.
It's a good question. I'd almost want to go kind of do a refresher course on that those Sixers rosters, Nate. I mean, I think part of it is, you know, role players that maybe we forget about for some reason. I don't know why the first guy that comes to mind is Matt Geiger. I think he's probably be longer and deeper down the list. I think there was a lot
Eric
better
Snow,
teammates.
George Lynch was on that team for a while.
Yeah, I mean, but Eric Snow's, you know, it's like that was like his co-star for a while, which is a sign that, you know, he didn't have it that much better than Russ. I think Allen, you know, as great as he was, Allen was never the playmaker that Russ is. So I like the question. I don't know if it means there's just more competition in the East these days than there was then. Again, having not studied it, you know, I don't know. Yeah. But Russ is doing everything he can do. And, you know, the West is tough. And I went, I know we talked last week, but I forget if we got into it very much or not. But I went to Portland and Utah essentially with the objective of jumping on the Russell Westbrook train. And at that time, they were playing great. And so I just thought I would try to capture what was going on with him and them. Well, then it was like the two worst days of their season. They lost both games. Russ was bad. I kind of got the other side of it, where part of it was Victor Oladipo was out and still out with that wrist injury. And they have a really hard time scoring when Victor's not on the floor, because, you know, obviously defenses can collapse on Russ and it just doesn't function nearly as well. So they are like, they're up against it every day when it comes to the red line and that idea of being able to do what they need to do to pull off the W, or looking really bad like they did in both Portland and Utah, but Portland was bad. I mean, they were up like 10 at one point early. Russ takes a quick breather, and next thing you know, I think it was like a 20-5 Blazers run. I mean, that's life without a lot of help.
And it's interesting, too, because I'm really curious about the Blazers. You know, the fact that that happened to OKC against the Blazers. This is a team that can score and put up a ton of numbers, but they absolutely do not stop anybody. How successful can they be in the Western Conference without even a semblance of defense?
They can't. I mean, it's not a good look. It's crazy, guys, how in the NBA, and this is universal, like how quickly narratives can change. And that, I mean, and I'm not even trying to be funny, like that should make Kings fans feel good, because as you know, yeah. I mean, seriously, as much as it seems like it's always going to be one way, we see all the time these narratives change really quickly. So the Blazers, you know, one of the hottest young teams in the West, Damian Lillard, tremendous player. They're on their way. They beat the Clippers. And I think a lot of people are starting to come to, and that was in the first round of the playoffs last year. A lot of people are now coming to the conclusion that they, you know, if you're talking gambling analogies, they put too many chips in. They thought too highly of their hand, and they went out and they signed Evan Turner and gave him a ton of money. And I don't know, Alan Crabb, another monstrous contract, and they tied up a lot of their money. And so, by and large, this is what they are. And, you know, I think the part they kind of gloss over is that, well, you beat the Clippers, but Chris Paul and Blake Griffin both got hurt on the same day, you know, four games into that series. And I don't know where they go from here. Evan Turner was supposed to help them defensively because he'd been really good in Boston on that end of the floor. And it's a bad place to be. And Neil O'Shea, their GM, you hear rumblings that maybe, you know, he's got a lot of pressure around him now because, you know, is there a ceiling there where you've got all your money tied up and you're going to be nothing more than an 8 seed or a 7 seed?
Sam, at this point, I mean, there's, you know, tons of basketball left, but have you seen anyone in either conference that could dethrone the Warriors or the Cavs?
I mean, I'm never, ever betting against the Spurs, and that's not even really just a platitude or a cliche.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen, you know, one of my favorite experiences covering the league was having being able to cover the finals in those back-to-back years when it was Miami and the Spurs, and seeing San Antonio pull that off, and seeing, you know, that their chemistry and their cohesion and their culture, and Pop leading the way, you know, they still have strong shades of that with this group. Now defensively, things, they're really good defensively this year, but it's a little more nuanced and tricky with Pau Gasol. A lot of people saying that, you know, in the playoffs, you can't play Pau and LaMarcus Aldridge together because defensively you're going to get killed. So they have stuff to figure out, but I'd say probably San Antonio. I mean, the Clippers obviously got off to a great start, but you know, now they got no Blake Griffin for 3 to 6 weeks with the knee injury. So I'd say San Antonio. And the funny thing about the Cavs is that they definitely deserve, you know, the respect that comes with being the champs. But if you're just being objective and looking at them to this point in the season, I mean, they're far from invincible. I mean, defensively, they're like 17th in the league right now. And they just lose J.R. Smith for a long time with his injury. So I think the Cavs in the here and the now are pretty human.
You know, as we're getting close to the end of the calendar year right now, Sam, all that means is that, you know, trade talks, things are going to start heating up. Is there anything that is kind of on your radar that might actually be happening kind of coming in the next month or so?
No, we'll see. I mean, I wish I had some good dirt to dish, Katie. I think a lot of focus on the DeMarcus stuff, but certainly, you know, certainly entirely possible, if not probable, that he stays, you know, with the Kings after the deadline. I think a lot of people feel like if anything was going to happen, might be this summer, and then they've got a heck of a bridge to cross when they got to decide what to do regarding that Supermax extension that he'll be up for. Mm-hmm. So a lot of focus on the local team. You know, even a lot of focus on Rudy Gay as a potential game changer somewhere else. You know, the one little tidbit that I thought was interesting is it had been reported that the Thunder had a lot of interest in Rudy. And what I would like to get to the bottom of is somebody who is close to it had told me recently that it was worth noting that, and I had reported this, that Rudy changed agencies and now went to Roc Nation Sports, which is the same agency that represents Kevin Durant. And that it was almost like things were so raw and so personal with the Thunder and Kevin Durant that, you know, basically the idea that might have minimized the chances of Rudy going to OKC based on that alone. That might sound kind of funny and petty, but, you know, those kinds of politics do come into play, you know, with the Thunder essentially saying, you know, we got a bad taste in our mouth from how that agency handled Durant leaving town. So, you know, we don't want Rudy anymore. I don't know if that is the case, but it's kind of worth noting. So it'll heat up. I mean, the CBA getting done was big because all these GMs wanted to know exactly what the landscape looked like. There's a lot of changes, a lot of stuff that they had to learn about and take into account going forward. So obviously we still got about 2 months left. So, you know, we'll have a lot of chatter.
Do you think that given some of the recent injuries and stuff for maybe even teams in the playoff contention right now, and maybe even in championship contention, that they're going to have to make some moves just based on some injury issues?
Yeah. In fact, one that I had some conversations about yesterday, like we talked about the Cavs and the J.R. Smith situation. It sounds like there's a little bit of a push and pull within the Cavs. And I'm trying to remember this correctly where, you know, the management, I believe, is looking for a perimeter defender, somebody. And I think, you know, they knew that JR's injury was not good. So that seems to be the focal point on the management side. And then there's but some chatter that LeBron wants another ball handler to lighten the load with him and Kyrie, and that's his focus.
No.
What's that, Katie?
Sorry, I was talking back to Matt. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. No worries. So, I mean, that's something to watch. And that's not that unique where, you know, everybody's got an opinion, especially when you're LeBron James, you're going to be able to weigh in. So I'm curious to see if they do something. And, you know, and if they do, you know, you'll kind of know who won in that little debate internally. So, I mean, Cleveland is looking around. The Warriors are the ones that are interesting because early on when their defense wasn't as good as we thought it, you know, or as good as it was the last couple of years, I thought they were going to go shopping for a rim stopper, a rim defender, you know, and a big on that end to help them with losing Andrew Bogut. But they've figured it out. They're second in the NBA in defense right now. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they stand pat because they seem to have a pretty good formula.
Yeah, it's interesting. Something about that squad tends to figure it out. Sam, we appreciate you taking the time today, you know, presented by Stockton Honda, of course, but, you know, taking this time on a day before you started, I don't know, Christmas break or something like that. Whatever, Sam, we like having you, man. And have a Merry Christmas and a happy
Nate
holiday.
Nate is like...
And I'm checked, man.
Dude. Sam, Nate is off. Sorry, we're done for tomorrow. You know, starting tomorrow, we're off for the break, and then he's off next week. So, man, thanks for sticking with us with Nate just already 1 foot out the door.
Man, Katie, you're the only one working around here. What's going on? Man.
I know. What's going on with that?
Valedictorian over there getting a job.
Oh, hush.
Sam,
guys,
we appreciate
have a great holiday.
You too.
No,
thank you
sure.
so much.
All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye. Sam Amick, Stockton Honda is Northern California's fastest-growing Honda dealer. Get your 15-minute trade-in appraisal at StocktonHonda.com. NHL.com. All right. Well, hey, Katie. What's up, man?
You did it, Nate.
I know. I guess you got to try to help me out here. Just try to say goodbye. I hate goodbyes. That's what it is.
Oh, is that what it is? You get all tore up about goodbyes. I think things are going to start to get really interesting in the NBA coming up really soon because I don't know. I felt like there was an above average amount of chatter even coming with the December 15th kind of deadline of where people that were acquired during the offseason could start to be, you know, traded. And when it comes to the Kings, and it's the same for all teams that are struggling to kind of get back to, you know, being a playoff team, being a winning team, you're always going to have trade chatter. But I just have this feeling that something is going to happen with this team, whether or not, you know, it's Rudy Gay or what, there's going to be something that happens. I feel this trade deadline, shall I say.
Yeah, it could be a lot of teams, too. I mean, the bar has been set so high in both conferences that I think you've got teams that they're kind of scrambling to figure out how they're going to even compete and try to find a spot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good stuff from Sam there. And when we come back, we'll have Ken Rudolph and then a little bit of a year in review on this show to close it out. You'll want to stick around for that because we're idiots and we've got the audio to prove it. This is The Drive, Sports 1140 KHL. You know that sound as we approach the final half hour of the show. Nate Goodyear, Katie Christensen with you. And that noise means that Ken Rudolph is joining us. A good day, Sacramento, and the lowdown here, noon to 3 on KHTK. Hi, Ken. Oh, I guess he's not. Hi, Ken. No, he's not there. Hey, Katie, you're there, right?
I'm here.
Well, okay. I mean, that was kind of embarrassing. I used my best greeting on Ken and...
I know. That's what happens with you.
Well, maybe Ken will be joining us here shortly. Until then, the Kings are, I don't know, what should we do? The Kings are in the eighth spot. You want to talk about that? Like, how exciting?
No, let's preview tomorrow's game a little bit since we don't have a show tomorrow.
Okay, go for it. They're playing the T-Wolves, and since you know everything.
Yeah, well, they're playing the Timberwolves, and that was actually a game early in the season when they played them at home that it was kind of... Minnesota, who has a great, great young roster, jumped out to a big lead, and the Kings came back and kind of competed with them there. Did you remember at the end of that game that?
Hey, Ken's here, Katie.
Okay.
So don't even worry about double checking it.
We are just screwing this up royally today.
Hey, don't,
oh my god!
Don't blame
so
it on me.
I'm
just here for a good time. Hey, Ken, what's happening, buddy?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm late today, guys.
Oh, whatever, sorry. Dude. I've got one foot in the car, apparently, so you know, can't
you
win
know why I'm late? Mm-hmm. I was taking an extra 30 seconds to enjoy my cup of noodles chicken flavor this morning, so, you know, I...
Okay.
I saw a TV advertisement for cup of noodles the other night.
What are you talking about, Katie? It's comfort food. I needed something warm in my body. No?
Okay.
No?
Okay. Cup of noodles. What are we?
I need enough
19
sodium.
In college?
I need enough sodium to last me for the next year, so I'll get it all in that one cup.
Don't want that ring coming off anytime soon, right?
Exactly.
Hey, Ken, this is kind of a weird way to start it, but in North Carolina, they're still really concerned about where I go to the bathroom.
Yes, they are. And a lot of people were expecting them to repeal their bathroom law yesterday.
Let me pee in peace.
In a special session, but here's what happened. They didn't. North Carolina legislature did not repeal that state's bathroom bill during a special session yesterday. Opponents were really, really upset with them. The law actually requires people to use public bathrooms that correspond with the biological sex that's listed on their birth certificates. And people were obviously very upset about that and have been. And it's really costing that state a lot of money in events that have been pulled out of there, including the NBA. That is, said they're not going to come there if they don't change the law. Well, the legislature could discuss the repeal again next year on January the 11th.
You know, I don't even want to get into what's going on in North Carolina and the bathroom bill, but yeah, the great segue is that they're not the only ones living in a shed.
What?
A man is living in a shed for 12 days to get donations for kids.
Yeah, he's done this. He did it last year. He's doing it again this year. It's kind of a shed, but he equips it with some things to make it a bit more livable for him. But his point is, I'm going to stay out here until I get enough donations to take care of a lot of people during the holidays. And he's going to be there until about 5 or 6 o'clock this evening. and the address and the location, all that stuff is coming up in the 9 o'clock hour on Good Day this morning. But it's a great thing he's been doing. He did it last year, and it's pretty awesome doing it this year as well, and he'll do it again next year.
You know, something that's kind of a scourge for hat wearers, Ken, is you get a nice hat, you wear it all the time, and then it turns into garbage because, yeah, you're sweating, maybe you're out there working, maybe you're playing softball, whatever it might be, and sometimes it's kind of tricky to be able to wash them because you can't just throw a good ball cap in the washing machine.
No, you can't. And they had these little things that they made a while back that are like that you put the cap inside of it and it helps it to kind of keep its shape even though it's in the washing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't really – it didn't really work.
And I thought you could do it in the dishwasher.
Well, here's the thing about that. You can, but you have to think about the shape that it's going to retain and the detergent that you're actually using on the cap. So I found out the hard way when my wife took my red Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim baseball cap and put it in the washing machine, and it came out pink. And not that I have a problem with it being pink, but that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, you're a trendsetter, though. You were the first.
So the Manly Minute today is just the five steps you need to take to clean your baseball cap. And one of the most important things you need to do is obviously not put it inside of a washing machine, and you don't want to give it any hot water treatment. The water should be warm. In fact, it should be more cool than warm. And after that, there's some elbow grease involved, and I'll explain all that to you in the Manly Minute.
Oh, my goodness. Elbow grease. That's scary. Well, what do you guys have coming up today on the midday, your guys' last show before the holiday?
Yeah, so today we decided we're all going to go in there at about 12 o'clock, and we'll start the show. And
it's gonna be... as you've gotten?
We'll start the show because it's going to be a year in review. So we're going to start the show at 12. We'll talk for a quick second, and then we're just basically going to go to all of the segments that we've chosen that we think had an impact and are still relatable today. Like, we had certain conversations that, and you guys do the same thing. It's a heated discussion, and the context is lost. If you replay that discussion, 6 months later,
yeah,
folks don't know exactly why you're excited and what the context is. So we had to get rid of a few of those, but we kept some things that we think still stand the test of time. We're really proud of an organic segment that we did the morning that Prince passed away. And it was still really raw for us. It had just happened maybe 2 hours before we started our show. And we just shared a lot of that with the listeners, and they responded, and we got into some really great topics just about that, and it was a great hour as far as we were concerned. So things like that we're bringing back.
Well,
what's up, Katie?
Ken, I am currently sitting right – I mean, I can see it outside of my hotel window here in Minneapolis. The club that Prince used to perform at right next
First
to
Avenue.
The Target Center.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So that's just kind of ironic that you bring that up today.
I forgot that you are in Minnesota. You know, one of the great things I love about downtown St. Paul, Minneapolis, especially in the summertime, because now it's pretty cold out there, Katie, so you're not going to see many people kind of walking around.
Oh, it's one of my favorite places in the summer. It's awesome.
Yeah, because everybody's out, and it's so cool, and everything's connected. They go from one bar to the next, to the Target Center, to First Avenue, to Target Field. I mean, it's all right there in that, like, five-mile radius. It's awesome.
Ken, I don't get to say this to a lot of people that we have on, but in 1 year ago today, you and I had never met. And over the course of last year, we did. And I think that's pretty rad, man, because I think you're a cool dude. So let me get all mushy on you here for a second. End of the year, I'm not going to get to see you until next year. But it's been a lot of fun, man, and I look forward to a good 2017.
Nathan, back at you. I have a tremendous amount of respect for your skill set and the way you go about doing your job every single day. You are truly an unsung hero of this entire sports family. You don't get enough credit. And so I do appreciate the
sentiment,
man.
So mushy, you guys.
It goes back at you.
Nathan
knows I think he's awesome.
I'm the woman on the show.
Ken, you're the best, man. Say something nice about Katie so she'll shut the hell up for the next
season. Single time we talk.
I
say something nice every time.
My gosh, I'm the woman, and you guys just made me feel uncomfortable for how lovey-dovey it just got on.
Wow, see, Nathan, we can't win. We can't win.
Hey, we're breaking down barriers, man. That's what we do.
Hey, much love, guys. Happy holidays.
You too, man.
Take care.
Ken Rudolph, hear him noon to 3 on the Lowdown, and you go check him out at Good Day 2, and you can see all that. Okay, when we come back, we have audio proof that this show is populated entirely by goofballs. And that's what we're going to do. We got some good stuff from the last year from this show. We're going to share that with you next. It might be funny. Stay tuned. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Oh, my goodness.
8:47. Time for a retirement checkup. Call David Hedger at Granite Bay Asset Management Group, 791-1737. Okay, we've got about 10 minutes left in the year together, Katie. You and me do. And we're not even really together technically because you're in Minneapolis and my heart is here in Sacramento. And, you know, ships passing in the night and the whole deal. But starting tomorrow, it's like Dave and I are both going to be gone. You're going to kind of be in and out and about, and it's a holiday and all that. So what we wanted to do here is looking back over, I mean, we haven't even been doing this show for a whole year, but in the limited amount of time.
What is it, 8 months now?
It's got to be something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we started in April.
Okay, yep. So see, there you go. So we started in April, and now here we are. And in that amount of time, we've somehow managed to compile a pretty solid collection of idiocy. And so we thought we'd
that's what we do best.
Like, there's just proof that we're a bunch of morons. And because we're such a big fan of you, the listener, on this Thursday, we want to share some of them with you. And I think what we're going to start with, it seems like, I don't know how many pets Dave has. Maybe you can shed some light on that, Katie. But it seems like he has one die like every couple of weeks. And I think that might be where this started. No, how did this get started, Matt?
This was a bit at the very beginning of the show. It had to do with, I think it was one of the guys from the country station. I think it was Tom.
That's right.
Tom
lost
rabbit.
A rabbit.
His rabbit, yes.
And this is kind of how that went for us.
Fish? Fish is on the third level of animal death?
The animal death tier.
Yes. The animal death pyramid.
What are
brought
we
to you by
doing
the drive.
Right now?
So anyways, as we head to break. Morning Brew is next. We'll go over the topics we are discussing today. In the meantime, take a moment before you start your work day and give a thought. Yes, pour one out for Mr. Fish and Harrison the Gray Rabbit. Thoughts with them throughout today. And you know what? You just pick up and move on the best you can, guys. It's all you can do. As they say, you try too hard, you find yourself spinning around, and next thing you know, there's a dead horse.
Stop it!
More of everything coming up on the drive right after this. If you only can touch my heart, touch my soul,
change my life and all my goals. And love is blind and that I knew it. Oh my goodness.
My
heart
was blinded by you. Kiss your lips,
held your hand. Yeah.
Shared your dreams and shared your bed. I know you well.
Make it stop.
Goodbye, my lover.
Oh my god!
I forgot about the horse story, Katie.
I forgot about that. Yes.
So that's
you're right. Dave does have like an animal dying all the time. I don't know if you can consider a fish an animal, though. Can you? It's a fish.
I'm not sure, man. It's just
it's pet.
There's some sort of a crisis going on in his house when it comes to their pets. Yeah, don't put the gerbil in the washing machine or whatever.
90% of our morning brew is stories from disasters at the Carmichael Dave household. Yeah.
Yeah, including this one that happens like maybe when his kids realize that they've been grandfathered into rooting for a bunch of crappy sports teams right about the time that the other football team gets good.
Titans.
Wow.
Oh, Matt just fell off his chair.
You don't like the Raiders?
Mm-mm.
That's I had it.
All right.
You told me, like, I remember this when I was little. You
the truth comes out.
You told me that I can't like the Raiders.
I don't remember that.
But they remember everything.
There's no conspiracy.
Uh-huh. It all comes out on your home of the Raiders.
Hey, man, listen, it is a time-honored tradition. You have to...
And he goes to Vegas all the time. Oh, my God.
You have to indoctrinate your children early.
Oh, that's sad. Okay, I get
it. Yeah, you do. That's fine. Have to indoctrinate them earlier. At least that's what I hear. I mean...
I didn't get to be there for that one because Dave knows better than to bring his kids anywhere near me.
Yeah, well, I think that's the reason why he actually brought them in, because that was, I believe, the week that you were off getting married.
Yeah, I wasn't kidding about that. There's a very good reason that he doesn't do that. I'm not housebroken, and I'm definitely not Definitely not.
You're
PG.
Not safe for, yeah, you're not safe for kids. Mm-mm. That's for sure.
Barely safe for work. So we had that. And I got to miss all the fun with Dave's kids. Another kind of bizarre obsession that's come up over the last couple of weeks is this stupid Disney movie called Mona.
Not stupid.
Moana.
Spelled Mona. Moana.
It's Moana.
It's a Michael Jackson lyric. Moana. Anyway, so that has turned into a minor obsession of ours, or at least Matt George, anyway.
But let's be honest, the three of us are just really bad people at the core. I'm talking about you, me, Katie, Nate, and myself. So it's always fun every once in a while, and that thread is usually reserved for, like, show notes and things. But occasionally we'll bring, like, are you watching this, or did you see that play? So it was awesome last night when cute little sweet Matt George pipes in. He's like, hey, bros. You gotta go see that movie, Mona.
It's Moana.
Whatever.
It's Moana.
Okay, marijuana, whatever it is. It's freaking better than Frozen. And then Kevin,
Mona.
Whatever. And Kevin busts out with, them fight words, my house. Can't be better than Frozen. And Matt's all, wouldn't be fighting words once you see the movie. And there was like this 10-minute back and forth about how amazing this Mona movie was.
Literally four texts.
Or whatever.
Ten minutes.
It kept popping up on my phone. I'm like, dude, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read on our text. And that's saying something.
Mona.
Moana! Man, you're killing me.
I haven't even seen it.
I haven't even seen Frozen, but at least I know the name.
I think that was the day I was sick or something. You hear me hacking up a lung. Or it was like shortly thereafter, because that made me laugh so hard. I had never even thought, like, I assumed it was probably called Moana or something. And so when Dave bust out the Mona, it makes me think of Who's the Boss. I mean, Mona was the hot one on that show, let's be honest. Love some Mona. Other various things that we've had issues with over the last, 8 months or so, the Kings were taking on the Mavericks, and for whatever reason, even though we know exactly how to say it, for some reason we decided that we needed to figure out what the specific pronunciation was of the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks, Rick Carlisle. And I don't know exactly how we even arrived here, but this is what it sounded like. I think my favorite moment last night was when... No, there's not, actually. It's just...
What? Hold on, what? Rick Carlisle.
So there we go.
There it is.
So G-Man was wrong.
That must have been the one day I was off. I think I took that day off. That's when we were coming back from that long road trip, huh?
Okay, yeah, because what happened there? Didn't G-Man kind of stumble over Rick Carlisle's name or something like that? Or
I think it was the week that he was either he was sick or he was having a tough time just pronouncing things, so he just butchered it.
So I basically just Google how to pronounce Rick Carlisle, and lo and behold, there's a YouTube video.
This YouTube video is called
like how to pronounce Rick Carlisle. So I'm thinking, well, this is kind of a bizarre little 5 second video to have on here. And then that's what we end. Carlisle. And finally, hitting the Wayback Machine to a young Katie Lauren Christensen. Back in the day when we had that exclusive footage.
You're so stupid.
Senior recital. Let her rip, Matt.
We got a break, but Matt George, who is running this from back in the studio, this whole broadcast, I've said this many times before. You want to talk about an intrepid reporter right there. While we were talking about all that, he actually got on the phone.
Check your cell phone.
Up into Northern California and got a hold of your parents.
What?
Who forwarded him some audio. This is Katie Senior solo right here.
It is not.
No. On the recorder, too.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, is it?
You're a little off key, dude.
Matt, nice try.
All right, keep that going.
The vocal solo. It wasn't on the recorder.
I think they're missing a couple of them.
We're out here live, as opposed to taped on VCR. Or along with Sleep Train, we're collecting pencils and pens and erasers and
school
backpacks.
School supplies.
Bring them on out here to 5244 Madison Avenue. Oh, here's a big part right here.
When we return, we'll tell you why we're having Doug Christie on today, other than the fact that we love him. It's a drive. Good job, Katie. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Sports 1140 KSDK.
Whatever. Whatever. You guys are tools.
The big finish there, too. Hey, Katie, yeah. We got a minute left, man. It's been a fun 8 months. I'm going to fight you when you get back, but it has been fun.
You're going to fight me and you're going to lose. It's not even going to be competition.
It's because I'm above my... never mind. I don't need to do that to you. I'm not going there. I'm above that.
I'm above that. I'm a bigger person than you, Katie. Well, I'm not a bigger person. I'm going to annihilate you.
Aren't you?
I'm going to annihilate you. You're not even good at radio. What's your name again? Oh. Nate Goodyear? I don't know who that is.
That's rude.
No.
Tidings of comfort and joy to you, too.
That's especially rude, considering I've told you on multiple occasions I knew who you were when I was like 12. And here you are. Like, I worked with you for 8 months, and you ain't even going to say this guy's name.
Nate, you know that I love you.
Get my name out of your mouth.
Stop being that way. Matt, happy holidays. You guys, listeners, thanks for tuning in and sticking with us today when apparently Nate was already on vacation.
But. That's right. More next year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Happy holiday. Jim Rome is next. Lowdown is later today at noon. It's all happening right here on KHTK. Oh, and Lincoln Kennedy's with Grant and Doug this afternoon at 4 o'clock. This is The Drive, Sports 1140.